السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned in the Quran the story of Musa alayhi salam, and he mentioned what he said to Musa alayhi salam, and the same thing refers to all the Anbiya alayhi salam, and by them and through them to all the Muslimin till the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to Musa alayhi salam and said, innani ana Allah la ilaha illa ana, verily I am Allah and there is no one worthy of worship except me. And when Musa alayhi salam accepted that, and just like when we accept it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then prescribed the way in which he is to be worshipped. Wa aqimi salata li dhikri, establish the salah for my dhikr. My brothers and sisters, we are on the lessons from Surah Al-Luqman. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete guide of how to live this life in a way that will benefit us in the Akhirah. Islam is a complete deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. The famous ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on this day I have completed my blessing and ni'mah on you, and completed the blessing on you, akmaltu lakum deenakum, completed the deen on you, the way of life that is prescribed for you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have completed my ni'mah on you, my blessing on you, wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, and I am pleased to choose for you Islam as your deen. And the ayat is for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the mukhatab, and then we are, as his ummati, we are the people who are addressed. So therefore, the salah is the prescribed way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, this deen came complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send this deen with anything missing in it. And Allah did not leave it to anyone after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to complete that missing part. And that is the reason why there is such a huge prohibition with respect to bid'at. What is a bid'ah? It's very important to understand that in the context of salah. What is a bid'ah? A bid'ah is something which is introduced into Islam with a very good intention. The intention of a person introducing bid'ah is not bad. The intention is very good. He wants to earn the pleasure of Allah. And so he introduces or she introduces something into the deen which is not part of the deen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the deen has been completed on you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if anyone introduces something other than what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, then this is an introduction into the deen. And as I said, the niyat of the person, we don't criticize the individual, we don't criticize his or her niyat, the niyat is on the heart, the niyat is always good. The people who raised Isa alayhi salam to the level of son of God, what was their niyat, what was their intention? To honor Isa alayhi salam. So they said, he is such a good man that he cannot possibly be human. So he is the son of God. So their intention in terms of raising Isa alayhi salam's rank is, intention is good. But they forgot one thing, which is that we cannot raise anybody's rank and we cannot reduce anybody's rank. Ranks are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not leave it to us and say, what do you think about so and so? Please tell me, I will enter it in my book. No. So with respect to introduction of anything into the deen, meaning what? For example, people make this, people who don't understand. That's the reason why it is important to understand the istilahat of the sharia, the technical terminology of the sharia. So people say, then wearing, you know, driving a car is a bid'ah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not drive a car. Having an air conditioning AC in your house is a bid'ah, because he did not have an AC. People say all these ignorant things, because they don't understand the technical meaning of the term. So first and foremost, we have to understand the technical meaning of the term. Even in the translation, Abhidaya is translated as what? Innovation. If you ask me, I will say innovation is the absolute number one requirement of today's world. If you are not innovating, then you are dead already. But that innovation, does it mean Bidah? No. Bidah is a technical term in the Sharia of Islam. What is the technical term? What is the technical meaning of Bidah? Bidah is any action that is introduced into the deen which did not exist at the time of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He never did it, and it did not exist at his time. And this is introduced into the deen with the intention of getting sawab and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the intention of bidah? That Allah must reward me for this. I am introducing this into the deen because I want Allah's reward for this. Now when you look at the thing itself and you say, well, you know, this is a good intention, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you. But did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? It's not a mystery. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life is not a mystery. It's not mythology. It is the most complete recorded history of any human being on the face of the planet. As I mentioned many times before, there are many of you here, your fathers are also here sitting with you. Can you describe for me the sole of the foot of your father? If I ask you now, tell me, what does the sole of your father's foot look like? Can you describe that? You cannot describe. You never looked at it. You didn't bother about that. But people have described the sole of the foot of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said his soles were like this. Can you describe the texture of the skin of the hand of your father or mother? In the seerah, this is written. The texture of the skin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mubarak hand. Can you tell me how your father or mother clipped their nails? The order in which finger first, which finger, unless they are following the sunnah, in which case you know. But their own method. Can you describe for me how does your father or mother or your son or daughter or wife or husband or brother or sister, grandfather, grandmother, whoever, how do they clip their nails? Which finger first, which finger last? This is recorded for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, when somebody's seerah, when somebody's biography, when somebody's history is recorded in such intimate detail, do you think the people recording that would have forgotten actual acts of worship? It's inconceivable. I mean, if somebody took bother to record how the bottom of his foot looked like, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you mean to tell me they would have forgotten that they did this act of worship, or he did this wazifa, or he recited this particular kalima, or it, absolutely impossible. There's no way that could have been not recorded, number one. Number two, another even more important reason why it could not have been recorded, because the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a guide for all of mankind. And therefore, the sunnah and seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is as protected as the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have protected my dhikr, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah said, verily we have sent down this reminder, this dhikr, and we have protected it, and we are the protector. This refers to the word of the dhikr, which is the Quran, and it refers to the meaning and application of the dhikr, which is the sunnah. The Quran and sunnah are completely and totally linked. Somebody who denies the sunnah, or somebody who speaks without the respect and the adab that is due to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has exited Islam. He is not a Muslim anymore, because he is splitting the deen. He is splitting the word of the kalam from its meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his life as an example to be followed till the day of judgment. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the life of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a good example, is the best example for you to follow. For all those who look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and look forward to the day of judgment. So when this is the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensured and protected. Why do you think these people took the trouble to write all these things? Because this was minallahi ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensured that every single action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it was private or public, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, how he slept in his bed, who saw it except his wife. But that is also recorded. What time did he get up in the night for tahajjud? Who saw it except for his wife and in one case for Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was a little boy at 10 years old. He said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wake up and I went to get water for his wudu. Who is saying this? A little 10 year old boy is saying it. He says, I saw him wake up, which means what was this boy doing? He was already awake. He was staying in the apartment of his cousin, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his cousin. But for him, it was not cousin. He was staying in the apartment of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in the khidmat of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he ran to get water. He said, I got water. I poured the water for him. He made wudu and then he put his hand, blessed hand on my chest, and he made dua for me. And he said, oh Allah, give him your kalam and give him its fahm, the understanding of his kalam. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, he is called the ink of the ummah. He is called the person who is the first and the greatest mufassir of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalla. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected, and therefore a bid'ah is something now which we know what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So now you have somebody who says, I think we should do this on such and such a day. So what must we do? Check whether Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. If he did it, you can find the example of that, you can find the proof of that in the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, we are with you and let us do it. But if somebody says something and you look for it and you don't find anything there in the sunnah that this should be done, then what do? You say, sorry, I will not do this. Why? Because that is a bid'ah. It is an introduction into the deen with the intention of getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which there is no dalil in the kitab of Allah or the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do that, then what is the problem with that? The problem with that is, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith which every Jummah khutbah you hear. And what is that? The best speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khairul hadithi kitab Allah wa khairul hadi, best guidance hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sharrul umuri muhdathatuha. The threat and the shar and the danger and the evil of all matters is innovations, introductions, new things into the deen. Wa sharrul umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah. All innovations, all introductions are bid'at. Wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalah. All these innovations are misguidance. Wa kullu dalalatin finnar. All misguidance is in the hellfire. So any introduction into the deen is in the hellfire, not my fatwa. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It's a sahih hadith, go refer it. Now, how and why does this happen? For example, I'll give you one simple example, because and it is related to the dhikr of Allah, because this is what salah is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people of intelligence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say they are the people who do salah, they are the people who do hajj, they are the people who do lot of charity and so on and so on. Allah said they are the people who do zikr of Allah. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allah. Allah did not say these are people who are doing jihad fi sabilillah, these are people who are building masajid. No. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. These are the people who do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously, standing, sitting or lying down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the salah is prescribed for the Muslimin, kitab and mawquta at specific times. And Allah says, when you finish your salah, start doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the time for the next salah comes, do the next salah. All of this is Quran. Now this does not mean you don't do anything else. No, you zikr of Allah is to do halal business, zikr of Allah is to consciously and continuously have the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure in your mind all the time. This is the description of taqwa. So zikr is something which has been prescribed, and zikr is something which is fard. Zikr is something which has been prescribed in the Quran, and we should all engage in zikr. But please understand one thing very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, Aqimis salat ali dhikri, establish salah for my dhikr, and Allah then did not leave what is salah to your imagination. Did Allah do that? Did Allah say establish salah, aqimus salah, and then, well, what is salah, or whatever you think it is? Is that how it happened? No. What happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught what is salah. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He said, Sallu kamara aitumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. Please understand, the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave things incomplete. So if Allah said establish salah, one of two things should have been done. One is, what is the establishment of salah should have been described in detail in the Quran. There should have been, 100 ayat or whatever, describing the entire process. How do you make wudu? What is tahara? How must you do that? If you need ghusl, what is ghusl? If you need wudu, what is wudu? After that, what must you do? What is a masjid? How does the salah start? Where does it start from? Which body position? What is next? What is next? What must be recited first? What is next? All of this should have been inside the Quran. But as I mentioned many times, and I was saying this again in Kuwait last week, there are two ways of guiding somebody. If somebody, for example, says, I want to come to this masjid, how do I come? So either you send them a map, you put them on Google Maps or whatever, or you send them a written map, draw a map and send it to them, and then leave it to them to interpret the map and get here. Now, most probably they will do that if it's not a very complicated thing. But if it's a very complicated thing, then the chances are that they might go astray. Maybe some people understand it completely, maybe some people understand part of it, and so on and so on. So there is a lot of uncertainty. The other way of guiding is to say, okay, I'm sending my person to you, he will bring you. Absolutely 100% foolproof. Because the person knows where to go. He's being sent, he will bring you. So what do you do? You do nothing except follow the one who came to bring you. That's it. Nothing else. Hold his hand and you get to the destination. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with respect to salah. And with respect to this entire deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not bound by some publisher's agreement to say, your kitab must have only so many. I publish books. I've written many books. So I know when I am going to publisher says, so many pages. If it is more pages, it won't sell. So reduce the number of pages, all this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by any publisher's agreement. The Quran could have been 50 volumes. Allah did not do all that. What did he do? He gave the hukum because this is his order. And how to implement the hukum, how to implement the order, he sent his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, follow him. Do whatever he does. And if you do whatever he does, what will happen? I will love you. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, follow him. Tell those who claim to love Allah. Tell those who claim to love Allah, follow me, do my ittiba. Make my ittiba. Emulate me, follow me, imitate me. And then what will happen? Allah will love you. Allah will love you. And when Allah loves you, what will happen? Allah will forgive your sins. And Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. In this country, there was a very famous movement of the love of Allah, called the Bhakti movement. And you had people like Mirabai, and you had Kabir, and all these people who wrote dohas, who wrote a lot of poetry. If you read the poetry, this poetry is, if you translate it into Arabic or Urdu, it would become what we call hamd, in praise of God. And they used to dance in the streets and, you know, they would go into watch then so on and so forth. All intentions very good. Alhamdulillah. Nothing wrong with intention. They want to please God. They want to get close to Allah. But what are they doing? What did Allah say? Allah said, get close to me, follow, establish salah, get close to me. But do it how? Do it the way my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught you to do. So now if somebody says, you know, I love Allah so much that when I recite poetry, hamd, perfectly good poetry, I'm not talking about any shirkiya kalam. You know and I know we have enough sense to understand if somebody is writing poetry which is shirk, we reject it. I'm talking about poetry on tawheed. You say, well, this is beautiful poetry, fantastic, beautiful kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I read this kalam, I go into watch, then I want to dance for the love of Allah. Is this dhikr of Allah? What is the answer? The answer is see. No, don't say no. How do you know? Refer to the standard. Always refer to a standard. Don't get into an argument. You don't say no, yes, this, that. I do it. Many people do this. Huh? Somebody asks a question. Can I eat doubtful chickens? Well, I do it. So what if you do? Who are you? Eh? Who are you? Your amal is not a dalil in deen. Your amal is not a dalil in deen. Somebody is asking you a question. Is it possible? Should I eat a factory processed chicken? What is the answer? Teach him what is the meaning of zabiha. What becomes halal in Islam. That's it. You do or you do not do is not a dalil in deen. So if somebody says, you know, is this okay to make dhikr like this? What must you say? Say, let us see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. If you can find for me in the seerah, in the sunnah, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam danced while making dhikr. Nauzubillah. I'm just saying this to describe it. If you can show me a majlis of dhikr of Rabbi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain and the akabirin of the sahaba and the Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon min al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar, they were all standing in a circle and they were dancing and they were spinning and somebody was beating a drum or somebody was playing a harmonium, then alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful way of doing dhikr. Let us all stand up and let us start dancing. But if you look in the seerah and the sunnah, and I have looked and I can tell you it is not there. You want to do your own research, please go ahead. Absolutely no problem. And you find in the seerah and the sunnah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wanted to do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stood in salah, in tahajjud. When the sahaba wanted to stand in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stood in salah, in tahajjud. Usayd radiallahu anhu is praying tahajjud. He came running to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, a strange thing happened. He said, what? He said, I was praying tahajjud and I saw a cloud descend and there were lights shining in the cloud. And he said, my horse was tied next to, close to me, and my little child was sleeping and this horse got very agitated. So I was afraid the horse might injure the child. So I shortened my recitation and I finished salah quickly. Ya Rasulullah, what was this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he asked him, he said, which surah were you reciting? He said, I was reciting Suratul Kahf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this was the malaika, the angels who came to listen to your recitation. And he said, if you had continued to recite the surah, he said, the people of Medina would have seen them also. This is the zikr of the sahaba and of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please do that. But if you say, no, I have to recite some poetry and I have to dance, as I told you, if you ask me, is it right or wrong, I will not tell you whether it's right or wrong. I will point you to the standard. Go look in the standard. If you can find it, come and tell me, I will dance with you. Believe me, I love dancing as much as you. I can probably do it better than you can. Huh? But if you can't find it, and you know, I know you can't find it. And this, I am giving only one example. There are many such examples. Gatherings on particular days, celebrating this day, celebrating that day, making this kind of food, that kind of food, burning incense, flowers, whatnot. All these things. Good intention, alhamdulillah. Burn incense, smells nice, no problem. Burn it every day. But making it a specific thing on a specific day, refer to the kalam of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If you can find it there, by all means, please do it. If you can't find it there, for God's sake, leave it alone, because otherwise you get into a situation where, believe me, you don't want to be. You do not want to be, because on the day of judgment, when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, "Ya Allah, my niyat was good," Allah will say, "So was the niyat of the bhakti movement people, so was the niyat of the Christians, so was the niyat of X, Y, and Z. So what shall we do? Why don't you join them wherever they are going?" Islam is a complete deen. It's not a piecemeal thing. It is not something which was left for you and me to complete. So for in Islam, therefore, whenever a command is given, every single command, find me, it's a challenge to you, find me one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where the methodology of fulfilling that command has not been prescribed. I'm sorry if this looks like very structured to you. I didn't create the thing. Go tell Allah about it when you meet Him. "Ya Allah, I had no freedom. I wanted to dance." Go dance by yourself, at least, minimum. I'm not giving you permission to dance. But I'm saying if you want to dance, just go dance. Don't call it zikr. So at least you are in a situation where your amal is, maybe it is not right. Or maybe in some cases, maybe the amal is right, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the dancing of the Abyssinian soldiers with their spears. He didn't say your dancing is haram. But they didn't say we are doing zikr there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam watched them dancing with their spears and he said, "Alhamdulillah. So you want to be a soldier, go dance, no problem. But don't call it zikr. It is not zikr. It is simply dancing." The reason I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is because we are on the subject of salah. And you know and I know, many people with many good intentions, they prescribe all kinds of things. Pray 2 rakat of salah on this particular day, in this particular night, then recite after Surah Al-Fatiha, recite this surah so many times, that surah so many times, then in ruku do this and do that and so on. No problem. Listen to all of that. If you have the time, frankly, if you don't have the time, then do what I do, which is just ask Allah whatever you want. Allah is not dependent on formulas. Talk to Allah, man, for God's sake. Allah said, talk to Him, you don't want. Ud'uni. Khalas, one word. Ask me. No, ya Allah, it's too simple, please. I want to complicate my life. I want to do it in a nice way. And, you know, 25 different potential rules of each one of which is fraught with mistakes and whatnot. And no, please don't simplify my life, ya Rab. Make my life as complicated as possible. Like, you make this so simple. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Please. Have mercy on yourself. Allah said, "Udu'uni, ask me." So ask Allah, khalas, finished. Why must you burden yourself with all kinds of complications which don't exist in the deen? Allah said, ask Him. Build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This is the purpose of salah. This is the purpose of the coming, the bi'sat of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the purpose of the bi'sat of every single Nabi. The Anbiya were connectors. They were connectors. Here is Allah, here is the Rabb, here is the Abd, connect them. That's it. And that is what we are. We are connectors. We are connectors thanks to the fact that we are the Ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah sent us to connect. Allah sent us to introduce Him to the rest of, to His creation, to all of humanity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah fard. Allah said, connect to me, udu'uni, ask me. Allah said, aqimis salah, establish salah. And then He sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show how it is to be done. So what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, pray as you have seen me pray. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated the salah. He demonstrated the salah. So the salah that you and I have today, this is the salah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important for us to ensure that when we approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen, that we approach it in the right way as prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if there is any doubt, and as I told you, a lot of these doubts come with good intentions, alhamdulillah. If there is any doubt, then refer to the standard. Refer to the standard. Don't use your own thinking behind it. Refer to the standard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, "Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his malaika send blessings and salat wa salam on the nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu. Sallu alayhi. O you believe, and this is the hukum of Allah. O you believe, send salat and salam on him, on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallimu and address him with salam. What did the Sahaba do? They asked. They did not invent. Allah said, send salat and salam, so I am going to do this. No. They asked, Ya Rasulullah, this is the ayat. How must we send salat and salam on you? This is a lesson for us. When you have a hukum in Islam, ask. How do we ask? We are not blessed with the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our asking is to refer to the Quran and Sunnah. This is our asking. The Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam today, for us, they take the place of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. So we ask. So what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell them? He said, say it like this. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama salli ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barik ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. And that is the durood that we recite also in Salah. And we do it in other ways. So this is the best way to send Salat and Salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I saying that to do it any other way is haram? No, it is not haram. You can send Salatun Salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in other ways also. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that. And other duruds, provided there are no kalimat of shirk in the durud. So you must understand what you are saying. But which is the best way? The best way is Durud Ibrahim. Because this is the way which was taught by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So whatever we do, and Salah is the head of the matter. The Salah is dhikr of Allah, and Salah is the head of the matter. But by definition, this refers to every other form of dhikr. Whatever we do, please test it against the standard. If it is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did or ordered to be done, both basically they are both the same thing, because he never told anyone to do something which he didn't do. So if it's anything which he did or ordered to be done or permitted, then alhamdulillah, we do that with great confidence, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us in keeping with his majesty and grace. But if it is anything other than that, no matter how nice it looks, no matter how nice it sounds, no matter how appealing the explanation is of the one who is promoting it, people can speak very, convincingly. So no matter how convincing that explanation may sound to you, no matter how that particular action or those words and so on appeal to your heart, no matter any of that, refer to the standard. Refer to the book. There's a friend of mine who's a test pilot. So he certifies other pilots. So he was telling me once, he said, I asked him, I said, what happens if you are doing, he also does aerobatics and so on. And so we went to school together. So a very dear friend of mine. So I asked him, I said, what happens in an emergency? If you find that you are flying the plane and suddenly now you are in serious problems, what do you do? He said, standard procedure. We said, refer to the manual. I said, you're really crazy. I mean, your plane is nose diving in 5 minutes, you will be underwater or something in the sea, and you're going to look at a book. He said, there is no other way. He said, I'm not saying we don't have to take a book and turn pages, but he says, we have a complete manual of what is to be done in an emergency, do an instrument check, do this, do this, do this. He said, that is your only hope of survival. He said, if you don't refer to the manual, and if you try to invent, he said, you are toast. You are dead already. You are history. He said, refer to the manual. He said, that is what will save you. Because then you will see that in the instrument check, you will say, ah, here is the problem. You solve the problem, you are out of your emergency. He said, that is the only thing which will save you, which is referred to the manual. I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, wallah, this is Islam. This is Islam. You get into a tailspin, refer to the manual. Don't use your brain. Refer to the manual. Use your brain to get to the manual. Because that's what the brain must do. The brain must not invent something. I am not getting wahi, you are not getting wahi. So no matter who tells you what, refer to the manual, because the one telling you is not the Rasul of Allah. Ask yourself this simple question. I am telling you something. Am I the Rasul of Allah? I am not the Rasul of Allah. Why should you listen to me? Don't listen to me. Refer to the manual. What am I telling you? Am I telling you listen to me? No, I'm saying refer to the manual. What is the manual? The Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. If you find it in there, by all means, please do it. If I don't know, please come and tell me. I will join you. But if it is not there, please have mercy on yourself. Because on the day of judgment, when you stand before Allah, nobody will be accepted as a dalil in your favor except the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you stand before Allah, you say, Allah, I had the fatwa of this mufti that haram was halal. You and that mufti and that fatwa, all three will be together wherever Allah wants them to be. Oh Allah, I listened to this great Shaykh and he explained to me that this was right. Then you and that Shaykh will be together where Allah wants you to be. Please, do not do this to yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimi salata li dhikri, establish salah for my dhikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us what is salah. He did not leave it to somebody else. That is why this deen is complete in itself. It does not require you and me to complete it. There are no missing links. There is no code that got missed which you now have to add. Absolutely nothing. Follow this deen. It's a beautiful, simple to understand deen. Hugely powerful because it connects directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu amma nawalu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect you to Himself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save you from that which does not please Him.